this ding dong over here, Mike.
What the fuck did I do?
You said that cream cheese does not belong on a bagel.
Okay, it does, but I think they're better topping or better spreads.
Well, what's like an example of a better spread for a bagel?
Peanut butter.
That's
no.
Yes, no. I think peanut butter can go on a bagel.
I think it can, but cream cheese is way better.
You want to know an exotic way to eat a bagel? Cream cheese with some sweet chili sauce. Like you're eating a wonton or something.
Interesting.
Oh, like a Rangoon. Yeah.
But I'm not saying cream cheese doesn't. Maybe I said it in a text message, but I think it does go on it, but I'd prefer peanut butter on it than cream cheese.
Just straight peanut butter?
Peanut butter or Nerdy Nuts, whatever your heart desires.
Well, okay. Nerdy Nuts. You mentioned that. Is there any specific flavor that you would put on a bagel?
I don't know. I don't really have a specific flavor favorite.
Well, how many options do you have between Nerdy Nuts?
Nerdy Nuts, there's countless flavors.
That is a great question, Skylar, and yes, the answer is there are countless flavors. For those of you that do not know, Dimes on Duval is now sponsored by Nerdy Nuts, a delicious spreadable peanut butter or almond butter, whichever one you prefer, that you can order with our promo code DIMES10. The newest flavors right now, we have Little Debbie. Who likes Little Debbie?
It's everything Little Debbie?
No, this is just their most recent releases.
It's all Little Debbie flavors.
No,
in one.
No, this time, last week it was, but this week, man. It's only one. It's Galaxy Brownie. Oh, Can you see what that is a play on?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cosmic Brownie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cosmic Brownie or Galaxy Brownie is honey roasted milk chocolate peanut butter mixed with rich chocolate sauce, fudgy brownie bites, and the classic rainbow coated chocolate gems. Sounds delicious.
You could probably just spoon that straight.
It actually says in the description it is a spoonable spread, so you hit the nail on the head right there. The other two flavors that are being released this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time are Mr. Nutty, white chocolate peanut butter mixed layered with chocolate cookie cream, Oreos, and marshmallow fluff, and topped with white chocolate sauce, white chocolate chips, and ABC sprinkles. I wonder if it's actually like letters. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the last one is Fully Loaded, a contest winner's submission. Two layers of milk and white chocolate peanut butter packed with chocolate sauce, brownie bites, mini peanut butter cups, and cookie dough bites. Talk about indulgent.
And delectable.
Are any of those candidates that you can spread on a bagel, Mike?
Absolutely. All of them are.
I would just probably spoon it. I wouldn't have a bagel, probably.
My recommendation, apples. Apples are about to be in season. Dipping an apple right in some of that. Ooh. I just had the Star Crunch version last week, and it was amazing. The jar is completely empty right now.
Yeah, I ordered so far three tubs of peanut butter from Nerdy Nuts, and I plan on ordering more. So
I will probably be doing the same this week, probably on Sunday at 7. They go fast, so make sure you get your orders in on time. That is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Use our promo code DIMES10 to get 10% off your purchase. We are a proud supporter of Nerdy Nuts, and we hope you will be too. With that, let's get started. Dimes on Duval, episode 68.
That was the longest ad read.
Who cares?
It was great, though.
Who cares? See, and that's the thing. We get it done in the beginning, and now people can't complain about it snuck in somewhere in the middle. So, yeah. Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. I'm with Skylar. I'm with Mike. The full crew tonight. We are so happy to be here on this Thursday night.
Thursday, yeah.
I cannot keep track of the days, so good to see you, fellas.
Yeah, it's great to have all of us back on. It's been a while, obviously. So
I'm just ready to get this recorded on the road because then we can get in that routine of recording every week, getting closer and closer to football season. I think we'll have one more episode, maybe. Before we really go into the grind of every week.
Yeah.
Like we did last football season.
Absolutely. We are ready to be back, and I'm just going to lead things off. I mean, we've got a great show ahead of us. I'm not going to make you wait any longer. The music playing right now, you can't hear it as we're recording this, but I'm going to pipe it in later, is a very familiar tune. It should be a very familiar tune for all of us. And that is the SEC on CBS theme. First thing that comes to mind for me is Vern Lundquist. I mean,
for me, it's the fact that football's back.
That too.
Yeah, well, I mean, knowing what it's going to be used for now, it just depresses me.
We have, it's one more season, right? It starts in 2023. It's going to be used, that music and that station is going to be used for Big Ten games. Are we okay with them using that music? I mean, to me, I'm just going to say it. I think it's sacred. It's SEC only. Like, they should have be able to carry that rights over to, SEC's going to be on ESPN, right?
Yes.
They should be able to carry that over with them and use it there. I mean, it just doesn't seem right. I watched a highlight video today, and I'm like, oh, great, Ohio State. Ugh.
Did you see the one from Barstool Sports?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because I saw Barstool Sports post something very similar. Put the SEC, the old SEC on CBS theme music, and they just had Iowa or someone fumbling the ball getting hit in the snow, and it just doesn't look right. But I personally am okay with it. I don't care. The music doesn't indicate for me an allegiance to a conference so much as a channel. I just know, sure, SEC on CBS because it's catchy. A three-letter word, no, I'm sorry, three-letter conference with a three-letter TV service. So that's why I'm cool with it. Fox has their own music, and ESPN had their own music. CBS is going to keep it and apply it to whatever channels they have, or whatever teams are playing on them.
What do you think, Skylar?
Well, do you think, like, in 2 years it might be different, just based on this reaction that people have?
No,
because they posted an official video of themselves.
Yeah.
So
I saw the video, yeah.
I mean, in 2 years, college football is going to change entirely.
Yeah,
so
there's not going to be a Big Ten, is there?
They're going to probably call it something different.
It's going like to be Ohio State with Florida and Alabama and the SEC on CBS, new SEC conference.
I don't know. I think of the conferences that are going to stay, it's going to be the Big Ten. It's going to be the SEC. And
it's going to be two in 5 years.
Yeah, it's just going to be
those. Just be those two, and maybe just a third one, just to have a third one for the middling teams. But
if anything, I can see like the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac 12 joining together to just make one big conference to compete with the SEC and the Big Ten,
which would be absurd. I don't want to be in the same conference as like a Washington. You know, it just wouldn't make any sense.
I mean, who would have thought that UCLA and USC would join the Big Ten? I can't imagine seeing USC playing in Madison, Wisconsin, or Columbus, Ohio, or Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the depth of winter in December. I'm sorry, in November. So
we see it briefly, kind of, when they played Notre Dame, but like
that's once a year, sure, but they rotate.
That's one I know. Like, it's gonna be weird. Like, I'm just saying, that's the only time we ever
see
it.
They usually do Notre Dame early in the season because they're not. They don't play in the cold in Notre Dame. At least I don't remember what time where they did.
It's gonna be strange. Yeah, the college football landscape is going to be changing a lot over the next couple of years. I just thought this was a big thing because that music. I don't know. I think of sitting on my couch in my old house, Scott sitting in the same vicinity. Doors are open. I can hear the wind chime in our backyard. There's a nice cool breeze, and Vern and Gary are setting up a Florida versus
Tennessee
game or something like that.
That's the main one on CBS, I feel like, besides Florida, Georgia, and then Alabama, Auburn.
Yeah, and at this point, Florida, Georgia, if I'm not like walking around downtown or something, I just feel like I'm not exactly like,
yeah,
it's not right. I need to be down there because I'm so close to it anyway. But yeah, we've got a good show ahead. We've got some Jaguars talk, got a little local update. So preseason, we are full swing. We've seen some good. We've seen some bad. We've got two games under our belt. We've got the Steelers coming up. What day?
Saturday
night.
Under the lights.
I did not win the drawing for free tickets. So I'm sorry, guys. Dang, I won't be there.
I'll be in St. Louis.
I'll be at work, or maybe talking about a concert later. I might try to go to that if I can get coverage. But
Nice little tease there. But preseason so far. Well, let's just back up to last Friday, Browns game.
The only game that mattered.
Yeah. Were we impressed with the starters' performance against the Browns?
It's hard to know because, I mean, Deshaun is so rusty. And the number 10 on that team had some drops. Like, you could pull up the stats and be like, I mean, yeah, the defense did their job, but I don't know. It's hard to say with how Deshaun was going to be playing in his first game in 2 years. And then the offense did okay. They moved the ball, but, you know, they didn't finish drives in the end zone. But it's preseason. They're trying different things. They were running the ball a lot with ETN. So I think you get different players in there. You know, Kirk would have played if it was regular season. You know, James Robinson probably plays if it's regular season.
Yeah.
So
Jamal Agnew.
Yeah. Swagnew.
What about you, Mike?
Guys, I'm scared.
Scared of what?
Scared of how hopeful I am.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing, too, like, to Keith, not, like, during the game, but you go on with your thoughts.
Like, I am very dangerously optimistic here, like...
Whoa. Mike Yashi is optimistic?
Okay, so, like I said on the Sports Ball podcast, by the way, a huge plug for that, because Keith and I were guests on their podcast as a crossover episode. Go listen to that. I strongly do believe that Doug Peterson is a significant improvement as a head coach from the previous regime.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, you couldn't get much worse than the previous regime, but I understand. Continue.
And his ability to mentor young quarterbacks, granted, like, he was a young quarterback. He won a few Super Bowls, one as a player and one as a coach, I believe. I think mm-hmm. as a player, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, back up to Favre.
Yeah.
Yep.
Either way, he won a Super Bowl. I don't care. So, for me, this offense looked good on Friday, and I really do believe that this offense still has a lot to improve on. For example, pass blocking is still a question mark for me. The offensive line is okay, not great. I am not confident in that right tackle position right now with Walker Little and Jawan Taylor battling it out. And the tight end is still a crap show for me. Like, I'm not trusting Evan Engram. He's had drops issues in New York, and he could have him. He's had him in training camp, and we'll see if he fixes those in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I get
or,
those.
I'm sorry, in the preseason.
Yeah, I get those concerns. I think Engram, you know, he had the bulk of plays and targets last one, but that's because I think they know what Dan Arnold is and how he's going to play. So,
meh.
But you pair them together, there's going to be ultra meh.
Well, I think Engram was at first.
So does that
pick.
Become eh?
Yeah, maybe you dropped the M. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Engram was a first-round pick. He has some talent.
Yeah.
The thing is, he can't stay healthy and he has drops.
And did you see the video of him working on the jugs machine?
I'm good. My thing is with this offense, there was, like I said on the Sports Bar podcast, I really was impressed with the offense. I've never seen a bunch of fans when – the first play of the game when Trevor threw it to Zay Jones along the sideline, I was impressed by Trevor's footwork, for one, his accuracy, too, and Zay Jones' ability to beat the corner for number three.
Because how often do we see them try a big play on the first play to set a tone, and it ultimately backfires because it either gets batted away, intercepted, sack.
About 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah. So
for me, I was very impressed, and Travis Etienne looked good. And I'm going to plug this again. On the fantasy football podcast that I was on a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, they asked me about Travis Etienne. And I said, I'm not a fan of Travis Etienne at his draft position in fantasy, for anyone that cares about draft positions in fantasy. However, after seeing that game, I am very sold on Travis Etienne being a factor in this offense. Still not convinced that take in fantasy in terms of how high he's going, but I do believe that he'll be a huge factor for this offense, especially when James Robinson does come back in as early as week 2, week 3, week 4.
I mean, he could potentially be there week 1, but I mean, they're not going to rush it, obviously.
Exactly. I wouldn't rush it either. So for me, I think week 6 is a good goal for James Robinson to get back to 100%. So we'll see.
Fair. Yeah.
But I do believe in this offense a lot. And the defense, I'm not worried about. I trust its defense. Defense was our bright spot last year. And I think they've improved by adding some key players, removing some older vets, adding younger vets to this team, and potentially adding a Hall of Fame defensive tackle in the next few days.
I just have to ask. Like,
so we'll see.
Sup, dude?
Did anybody see the fake tweet?
Oh, I saw that and got some friends of mine.
There was a fake tweet that went around with some guy pretending to be the Jag saying we signed.
And Dominican Sue.
Yes, a piece of crap. And
I don't care about that, man. That's...
I do. I only care because he stomped on my quarterback, and that really made me mad. But anyway, I wanted to back up on a point that you made, Mike. You talked about Walker Little and Jawan Taylor. If you had to say right now, Who's the starter?
Juwan Taylor.
Walker Little.
I'm on Walker Little, and here's why. Juwan Taylor may be in a contract year. He may be in a situation where he wants to fight to actually like get that job. But his penalty history,
the false
makes
start
me
king,
so mad that I just can't put my trust in that guy.
Was that the position Doug was saying they might have a starter like every game, like switching the starter?
That's no left guard. I think it was Barch and Shatley.
Okay. Yeah.
Which also is another battle that's like turning into an actual legitimate battle.
So it's a little under the radar. Everyone's been talking about the little Taylor one. But yeah, no, I agree with that. I've liked what I've seen out of both of them, actually. So I'm kind of glad. You know, it's nice to have a little competition in a good way. I don't think it's battle of the crap. It's actually kind of battle of the decent.
So Juwan Taylor is in a contract year this year. This year is his last year under contract. Next year he'll hit unrestricted free agency. So he is playing for a contract. Mm-hmm. My thing is, I can completely see the Jaguars starting Walker Little at right and then Ben Barch at left. Ben Barch is a big boy.
Do they trade Taylor at that point?
No, I think they keep him as reserve because you cannot afford right now. If anyone gets hurt, let's say Cam Robinson gets hurt. You swing Walker Little to the left, put Juwan at right, and just go.
Yeah, and Juwan has a lot of game experience, and we need guys with that right now. It's going to be an interesting battle there. Other than that, I mean, we had a kicking battle for a little while, but Elliott Fry has been released with injury, right?
Groin injury, I believe.
Something like that, but that battle's kind of gone for the time being, so we'll see what happens
there.
We'll see
if Ryan Santoso can keep it going.
Right. And that kind of segues into my next segment here. Who needs to step up? What Jaguar player do you feel needs to step up that hasn't impressed you right now?
I mean, the most obvious one, in my opinion, Caleb Von Chason. He needs to improve a lot.
To stay on the team.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. If he's going to be on the team, like, we spent, like, well, we didn't, I mean, we drafted him in a good high position, second round, right, I believe, or late.
No, Chason was
a late first round.
Number 20 pick in 2020 with the Jalen Ramsey trade. So, yeah.
Yikes.
So, bust city.
Does he make the roster?
No.
Yeah, probably not. Not with Arden Key and
He Smooth. Might make it just because we can afford the depth. But personally, I don't think he should. He's done nothing to indicate he's earned a spot. But
he just dances around.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that that jump move he tried to do?
Yes. Somebody was like, "What the hell is he doing?"
And it's funny. Someone I think replied back with the same exact move that Yannick Ngakoue did in the 2017 season, and Yannick got the strip sack. So it worked for Yannick Ngakoue, but definitely failed miserably for Caleb Von Chason.
I hate that Yannick's on
the Colts. Yeah, I'm not happy about that.
I will give him credit because him doing that shows that he's at least trying to do something better. He isn't Taven Bryan, who just bull rushed every time and got stuffed every single time.
It just reminds me of like Andre Branch a little bit. Like Andre
Branch
would do like the windmill.
He actually did have some production though.
Yeah, he was slightly bigger, I feel like, so.
And Branch also didn't have the hype coming out. He was a third or fourth round pick. I forgot what round he was taking, but
yeah.
That's a good comparison though. I like that. I like that. Mike, how about you? Who needs to step up?
Did you call me Michael?
No. I said Mike, what about you?
I heard Michael on that one. I don't know.
Maybe if this gets 3,000 retweets.
No, not doing that.
Chris Buescher, love it. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Michael.
A player I want to see more from is the backup quarterback position, just in case something does happen to Trevor.
That's a good one. I haven't seen jack shit.
CJ Beathard stunk. Mm-hmm. Jake Luton, he got cut, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank goodness. And then who's the other one?
We got E.J. Perry.
Signed E.J. Perry.
But I think we had one of the guys from the USFL playing, Slaughter.
Oh, Kyle Slaughter, he sucks too.
Kyle Slaughter, yeah.
PFT's favorite guy. But my thing is, like, the backup quarterback, if something does happen to Trevor, we are screwed.
We are losing every game.
Which then reminds me of another.
I think we run Wildcat with ETN right there, you know.
Wildcat hasn't worked since 2009. I'm not interested in that.
It's innovative now. It's been 12, 13 years, so people aren't expecting it.
Pass. Although, just back, and I just mentioned backup quarterback, the whole backups need to improve because I am scared to death. If we lose any starters for any period of time, our backups look like dog crap.
Agreed. Agreed. So,
I just said backup quarterback, but mainly the whole backup, the second string as a whole is pretty subpar.
Yeah. For me, I'm just going to go with the tight end. All the position. Tight end group. That was a nice crack. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I heard that on the mic.
I hope the mic picked it up.
I think it did. My goodness. But, yeah, no, I'm just going the entire committee of tight ends. They just need to step up for me. And then going the other way, who has impressed you more than you thought they would? We'll start with you, Mike, this time.
2022 first-round pick, number one overall, Trevon Walker.
Trayvon Walker.
Trayvon. I don't know. It's just, I've heard two different pronunciations.
Trayvon Walker.
I don't care. He is a beast. He is a stud.
Trayvon.
No.
Stop.
I was just
You're trying to make it like Trevor, but Trayvon?
No, it's like Taven.
I was just thinking of the third way to say it.
But anyway, Trayvon Walker is an absolute stud. And I told who? I forgot who I told the other day. If he turns out to be a really good player, we, including me as his number one apologist, I don't even know if that's the right word for it, but
you'd have to be very sincere.
I would be first in line to apologize to Trent Baalke because, oh my, if he hits on Trayvon Walker,
and I mean,
the whole city of Jacksonville owes him an apology, and I am at the front of the line.
Hashtag Baalke Masterclass.
Yeah, I mean, if he turns out to be a Jadeveon Clowney, oh, no, I'm sorry, his Jadeveon wasn't that great compared to
college Jadeveon Clowney.
No, to Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, like those premier pass rushers. Oh my goodness,
he seems like the kind that could take over a game, and then we still have Josh Allen on the other side.
And Josh Allen, I don't know if we're doing this segment later, maybe for a future episode, but he's going to look good, too, with Trayvon taking double teams. He's going to help a lot.
Yeah, I think that's why his like rookie numbers were so great, because we had Calais.
Like, Trayvon had the first play against the Raiders last week, shot out of a cannon to tackle the running back. And also
false penalty.
Debatable penalty, but yeah. And then this past week against the Browns, he was involved in a strip fumble, fumble by the running back. He wasn't the main guy, but he was affecting the play. So I love Trayvon Walker, and I was very skeptical on him first. So Trayvon's easily my number one answer.
I'll go next. I'm going to say
Trevor Lawrence.
Nope. Oh. Santoso. Mm-hmm. He has been fantastic in practice since Fry has been cut. He went 7 of 8, and I think he went almost perfect again in the last practice. I think this guy, we'll see. I think after the Steelers game, we'll see. But if he hits his field goals, I think we've got our kicker for this season.
He's got such a strong leg, too.
I'd say kicker for the first, 4 weeks before he probably gets an injury.
Well, that's great.
Wow, way to speak that into existence, Mike.
Well, have you seen the Jags' luck with kickers the last 4 years?
You're just all about injuries. You know, our backup's got to be great because we're going to get injured. You know,
I mean, so much about positive Mike. Hey. That went out the window.
He's hoping
we're not
for
even
some hurt.
Done, we're not even done with this podcast.
Hey, I'm just saying, Jags have been kings of getting hurt at the wrong time.
They've just been kings of being bad.
Well, we're
that's also true.
We're also Magic fans, too, so
don't include me. I mean, I'm a Bulls fan.
Your team is definitely injury prone.
Yeah, but we got more championships, so I mean.
Oh, my God. Not in the last 2 decades.
Hey, well, how many you have?
Shut up.
We've only been around for 3 decades, so chill out.
Back on the Jags, not NBA. We did the All-NBA episode last month.
Yes, and I will be recording a Manzi's Magic very soon because I've got a lot to get off my chest.
Ooh, I am OG.
What about you, Skylar? Who do you have as someone who impressed you more than you thought?
I got to go with Zay Jones.
It's a great answer.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting the receivers coming in to be like prime Dez Bryant or whatever, Randy Moss, but
what, you weren't? I was.
Well, they paid them the highest ever. So, you know, I'm makes me more excited to see Kirk, see how he does with Zay on the field, and just having those two guys out there with Marvin Jones as well. It's just like those are three really solid guys that, you know, for the most part, are going to get be able to catch the ball and get to a spot on the field that you need them to, and they had that leadership. So, yeah, I was just impressed with Zay. He was fairly wide open throughout the most part of the game. You know, on RPO plays, open that up a lot, and I'm excited to see the RPO. But Zay is my answer right now until I see Kirk, I guess.
That and Agnew. I'm excited for Agnew. I don't know about you guys. I love that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to – I feel like it was interesting how he was brought in as special teams and then being a guy that was a dependable receiver.
Yeah.
So.
And sometimes that's just how it works. So we got kind of lucky with that.
I mean, just, it's going to be interesting seeing him with ETN in the backfield. It's like you can do like some type of weird option play.
You could do all kinds of shit with that. You can have Trevor go on the run too. Why not?
They all run. They're fast. They're all fast. We got that speed that Urban Meyer was talking about.
I think don't mention his name. No, we don't talk about him. Okay, let's switch gears. Let's do a temperature check. We made some predictions.
Some early.
Early predictions back in May. May 20th, I think you have.
May 20th is when we uploaded the episode, so May 19th. So literally almost 3 months to the date of when you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, this is some Jaguars takes for... This was right when the schedule came out. That's why. Yeah, this was the schedule episode. So, Mike, you made some guarantees. You made the most. We're going to go with you last. Skyler, yours is just right off the bat. We can't really do much with it right now because the season hasn't even started, but you say the Jags are making the playoffs. Do you still feel like they can make the playoffs?
I feel like they can still make the playoffs, yes.
Okay, I got a better question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Jags will make the playoffs? Just basing off the 1.5 games that we saw.
About a 6.9.
Okay,
nice. Fair enough. Nice, yeah. As for me, I have the defense turning the ball over or recording over 21 turnovers.
How do you feel about that?
I'm at about a 7.5 on that. I still feel like they will. Yeah. I think we're going to be surprised by some guys on the defense. I think it's going to be a lot of fumbles.
Okay.
And I think we're actually going to have some luck this year. I think we're going to have some tip passes that are actually going to be caught by somebody in the secondary, not just bobbled or missed or caught by the opposing team's offense. Are you including
turnovers on downs too?
No, I think he meant turnovers.
No, just straight up turnovers. I think, yeah, like interceptions and fumbles.
So I think what helps your case is that we play Carson Wentz in week one. He'll get like 4 right off the bat.
Yeah.
Man, too bad we don't play Ben Roethlisberger. That would be a good one. All right, Mike, so you had the most here.
Let me hear him.
First one, you made, this is literally, I wrote Mike's Trevor Lawrence guarantee, 30 TDs. How do you feel?
I'm buying that one for Mike.
I'm at a 10. I think it's a lock.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to St. Louis this weekend. I'm curious to see what his over-under in touchdown props is.
You do some gambling there?
Oh, I'm claiming my winning ticket. By the way, if I have not mentioned it in the last 2 episodes or so, my Warriors ticket cashed. I am ready to collect my money. It is time.
How much is it? Or do you care to disclose?
I mean, I don't care. I put $100 to win back then, back in August of 21. They were plus $1,000. Uh-huh. I'm getting $1,000 profit. $1,100 is coming back to me total. Nice. So
pretty good.
Pre-tax. Pretty good. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm very curious how this is going to work in St. Louis. So
he's going to come on with like $8.
I'm probably going to come back with like $6.
Well, you should get some ribs while you're in Missouri.
But
me home some.
To answer your question, I am very high on Trevor Lawrence. I'm trying to. Okay. I do believe that he will get 30 touchdowns and pretty.
Is that all passing?
I think he will get 30 passing touchdowns, yes.
How many rushing?
I think he'll get 3. 3
rushing
touchdowns.
Oh.
Three.
I think 30, I think rushing. 5, since they're going to do a little bit more RPO. You know, he's going to have like 2 30-yard touchdowns, 1 QB sneak, and then 2 QB draws within like the 10-yard line.
Oh, you're being really specific over here.
Yeah. So, I mean, when that
happens. I'm not writing all that down. I'm sorry.
Well, we got it on record, so we can go back and listen. So I'll just repeat it again. 2 like 30-yard touchdowns, like 2 draws from inside the 10 and 1 QB sneak from the goal line.
Okay.
So he had 2 rushing touchdowns last year. He actually had 4.5 yards a carry.
Nice. Well, you said the leading receiver is going to be Christian Kirk. How are you feeling on that one? We haven't seen him.
I'm going to put that at a 5 because we haven't seen him yet, but I also think he should be. But if not, it would not surprise me if Zay Jones is the leading receiver, but that's...
Do you think one or both of them get 1,000 yards or neither?
I don't think.
In order for my 30 touchdowns, I'm hoping for both. Well, but I'm really expecting one receiver.
I think only one of them. I don't know which, but I think one of them will get 1,000.
Yeah, one receiver will get 1,000.
Does Trevor Lawrence have over 5,000 yards?
No.
No. Over 4,500.
You keep adding these things. I can't write all these things down.
I'm just asking questions.
I know. And your last one, and this is my favorite by far, Laviska Shenault will not be on the starting roster.
All right, here's my thing with Shenault. There's Christian Kirk. There's Marvin Jones, Zay Jones. Those are locks for the roster. Treadwell, same thing. Those are four receivers that are locks for the roster.
You said Treadwell's a lock?
Treadwell is a lock, I think. Mm. I think Treadwell is he earned it from last year, and he's played well so far in preseason. However, Jamal Agnew will be considered a specialist, is what I feel like they'll mark him as, instead of a receiver.
You don't think it'll be the other way around? Agnew is a receiver, Shenault as a specialist?
No, Shenault can't be a specialist. He stinks at it.
He can't catch the ball.
Well, he's a punt return. They were going to try him at the during the
Browns game. I hope not, because he can't catch the ball. He can't catch a spiral, let alone a wobbly kick from a punter or a kicker. So I'm good on Shenault. Personally, I do think he will make the roster, as much as it pains me to say. But I'm putting my prediction at a 4.
How many touchdowns does he have this year?
I mean, one. If he gets one, it's still more than last year.
Yeah.
So
I think this is the last year we will see Laviska Shenault.
Thank God.
Yeah, there needs to be an end. We felt the same with like Taven Bryan.
I hope Shenault balls out this preseason so someone can offer us a 4th-round pick for him.
We got one more game, right? I mean, I don't think he's going to play in Atlanta, though.
I think he would max cover like a 6th-round pick.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert got a 6th-round pick. So
yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Blaine Gabbert, if anyone wants to go look on our Instagram, please go like that photo that Keith posted on our Instagram.
Throwback Thursday. It was not a throwback picture, but it is a throwback shirt. That was funny. All right. Let's put a wrap on this. Let's do some local update, since we always try and add some local flair to each episode. I want to touch on something that is coming up around the corner. It is a festival of two delicious things. Well, one of them's delicious. The other one's not for me, but it is for a lot of people, which is the Jacksonville Taco and Tequila Festival. Mm-hmm. I don't really like tequila, sorry, but
I like margaritas.
I can drink it if it's like super mixed in with other things, but I've had some lukewarm shots of tequila in my life, and it makes my stomach queasy just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Jacksonville Taco and Tequila Festival is September 24th through the 25th. It's in Riverside Park. It is, if you're not familiar, it's Riverside and Five Points area right there. If you follow 904 Happy Hour on Instagram, they are doing discounted tickets right now until August 21st, so just a couple days from now. Take advantage of these discounted tickets. The pricing is up to 40% off. That is a huge discount. And enjoy music. They've got live music. They're going to have a DJ set. They're going to actually have some people playing as well. And they're going to have tacos and tequila. I mean,
that sounds delicious.
It sounds like it sells itself, honestly.
And also that same weekend, Arlington Appreciation Weekend is going on. So
that's right.
Local stores doing some stuff. I just met up with Mike McCann over at Jaxco Furniture. Coastals might have a sim up in the furniture store during that weekend, but that was just another thing going on through town, just a Arlington Appreciation. So regardless whether we're there or not, I mean, that's still something cool to support too. That one's not charged, I don't think, like the tacos and tequila. So if you miss out on a ticket, you still have something to do that weekend.
Yeah, exactly. With that, there are some events going on around town. The Florida Theater will be hosting, let's see, what is today, the 18th? They're actually doing something right now, but coming up, August 28th, Monsters, Inc. They're going to be playing that in there, so for all you Monsters, Inc. fans, one of my favorite movies.
That'd be cool to see there.
Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of September, Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, will be in town. I'm actually going to, I can't remember which night, but I'm going. He's there 3 nights, September 8th through the 10th. I'll be there for that. Do love me some Jim Gaffigan. And then just some other names, just to note, Collective Soul will be in town. They'll be in town on the 13th. And Blues Clues and You live on stage September 29th. I just had to mention that one because I was a Blue's Clues kid growing up.
Until Steve left, right, and Joe came.
Until Steve went to college.
Yeah. No, same thing. Same thing for me, yeah. My aunt had a huge crush on Steve, so like...
Hey, he was awesome. Now he's a rocker or whatever.
Yeah. Well, speaking of rockers, I also got a buddy in a local band, Travis Eldridge. He's a drummer in a band called Flag on Fire. I'm just going to read from what the SoundSpeedRecords.com has about their band. That's Flag on Fire is a five-piece melodic punk band from Jacksonville, Florida, formed in 2016, fueled by the love of skate punk. And then I'm not going to read too much after that because skate punk's all you need to know. I think that's a good genre for this area. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grunge, so.
Where are they going to be playing?
They'll be playing at 1904 this Saturday. Ooh. At 7:45, primetime slot. And then they got another show next Saturday at Kona at 9 p.m. Got Bo Dillard on vocals, Warren Cook at bass guitar, Taylor Cutler, also known as Tito, as the rhythm guitar backing vocals. Will Frazier, lead guitar, backing vocals, and, of course, my buddy Travis Eldridge at drums. So hopefully this is updated in terms of that band roster. But
if not, you know, I don't think they'll kill you.
Well,
you
at least
give them some shouts.
You go see them, and then you'll find out if it's accurate or not, and you let us know. So I'm trying to be at one of those shows. Kona one's probably going to be more likely, but definitely check them out. And I heard Travis on a different album. They just... He plays in all sorts of other bands, so I get to hear of his music from other areas too. And he's a great drummer. He's actually been center stage at Rockville when it's been here.
Ooh, okay, so he's got some skill.
He's pretty good. This is not just a band getting up and going. They're about to release their second album here in a little bit. He just said they got done recording it. So
that's a big deal. So yeah. Most bands can't even get to one. Being at two is huge.
So.
Yeah, wrapping things up, we got the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. They are in town. The game tonight, as we record this, is August 18th. It's been postponed due to rain. It'll be made up on Sunday. So if you are in the area, we've got a doubleheader tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, and I don't even know, whatever the next game ends, you know, whenever that one ends against Nashville.
Yeah.
It looks like they moved the game from Saturday to Friday.
Well,
game two moved from 8:20, which is a Saturday.
Yeah, so because they were going to have a doubleheader already, so they're just going to do two doubleheaders instead of playing 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, the doubleheader. They're just going to do two doubleheaders to make it a little bit easier, give them that extra rest day on the 20th.
They're
so no game on
rest.
Saturday. Stop that. No game on Saturday. The day you are listening to us, if you are listening on Friday, it is Red Shirt Friday. Wear a red shirt and get a discounted ticket. As well as next week, they play Norfolk, and that is going to be through the 28th. So they're here essentially the rest of the month. The last 2 days of the month, they do go up to Gwinnett. I will note that they are currently third in the standings in the International League East at 61-52 behind Lehigh Valley and Durham. So we have a good team. If you haven't gone out to a game yet this season, please try and make your way out there. Yes, Mike, we know you haven't.
I've been busy, man.
I haven't gone this year yet.
Oh,
either.
Man.
You used to work
Skyler
for
him. Skyler
stopped
working.
I went
for
to the orientation this year, though. Got a free Chick-fil-A gift card.
I mean, that's
and
pretty
then,
nice.
And then I think I also got a tub of those butter cookies.
Chick-fil-A's banned. Nice. The word Chick-fil-A is banned in this apartment.
Yeah, no.
Zach's Filet?
No Dick-Filet.
You worked at everyone, haven't you? Like, have you worked at PDQ yet?
No,
that would be
I would
the trilogy.
Never.
You're
I would
right.
never.
You I never do never. That?
No, you know why?
Because Tim.
Yep.
He's actually at Coastal right now. I mean, it's Thursday night.
And you know what's funny? Because the store that I worked at, the Zaxby's that I worked at, they had a Tim Tebow picture on the wall. I'm like, you can't do this. He has stakes in PDQ. This is like blasphemy.
It is interesting. But,
you know.
He's a nice guy if you ever met him.
Oh, I'm sure he's the nicest guy in the world.
I don't give two craps if he's a nice guy. I don't want to meet him.
I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell my buddy.
I do not. I have no desire to meet the guy.
Really?
I'm good. I'm very good.
What is, well, so like, what is it that makes you don't care at all? Like, If any other athlete, like, you come across, you're like, oh, it'd be cool to meet that person.
I really wouldn't. I'm not starstruck like that. Only very certain people. Like, if you told me that Michael Petras was walking into the restaurant, I would freak the hell out. If you told me...
That's different. That is completely different.
What is completely different about it?
Petras is your favorite basketball player of all time.
Okay, if you told me Chuma Okeke was walking into
What about Steph Curry?
Current Magic player. You can't say that.
What about Steph Curry?
Steph Curry? Yeah.
Okay, Steph Curry trumps Tim Tebow in my opinion.
What about Michael Jordan?
Those are two of the greatest NBA players of all time.
No to that, because I've heard from just videos on Twitter and stuff, Michael Jordan's a complete dick.
I've seen videos of that.
Honestly, it would be like being disrespected by Simon Cowell on American Idol. That'd be like the same thing, being disrespected by Michael Jordan.
Tell me Tim Tebow or Jimbo Fisher, I'd rather meet Tim Tebow. Jimbo's a dick.
I don't really have any desire to meet either of them.
I'm just trying to think of a good example. Let's think of a baseball player. Let's see.
Alex Rodriguez.
I would never want to meet that guy. He's a piece of crap.
Derek Jeter.
Hell no. He's even worse.
Really?
He is a mid shortstop that was hyped up because he played for the Yankees.
Anthony Rizzo.
I don't really care. I mean,
Miguel Tejada.
I'd be like, cool, hi.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's a name.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I was thinking
That's like the sports bar podcast. They always name a random person at the end of the episode.
It was popular.
But where did you pull him from?
I don't know.
Do you even know who he played for?
Miguel Tejada.
Played for a couple teams. But
I have a poster of him when he played for the Orioles.
You got to let him think.
He wasn't going to know.
I was going to name Orioles. Tigers? No.
I don't know. All I know is when he played for the O's.
I think he might have had a short stint with the Cubs for like a season.
Miguel Tejada. God.
I feel like maybe I could picture him in a Braves uniform too.
Oh Giants. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, he played for a lot of teams. Oakland Athletics, Baltimore Orioles, Houston Astros.
What about
Baltimore
Randy Johnson?
Orioles again. San
Randy
Diego.
Johnson, the big unit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to meet him. The guy's like 9 feet tall. It'd be really cool.
San Diego Padres, San Francisco Giants, and then the Kansas City Royals.
It's like half the league.
He also – good point. Six-time All-Star AL MVP. I guess it is random that I knew that. But
wasn't he caught for steroids, though?
Who, Miguel Tejada?
Yeah. Was he – no, that was Rafael
Palmeiro. No steroid
maybe?
Allegations.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you play
Rafael
baseball,
Palmeiro
you're linked to steroids.
He was number one in that. So.
Sammy Sosa, my guy.
Mark McGwire.
I know more these so names. Bat Corker.
Yeah.
Doesn't Miguel Tejada have a brother?
Maybe.
Ruben Tejada?
No, like he played. I don't know why I'm thinking something.
I don't know why I just thought of that name. I don't know if that's
I don't
actually
know
why a person.
I Miguel Tejada.
Is that a person?
Who?
Ruben Tejada?
Oh, I don't
think
know.
I think so. I feel like that person played for the Padres back in the day.
I don't know, but I'm just glad I pulled Miguel Tejada out of my ass.
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said on the show. but to get back to it, but let's just wrap this up here. Tim Tebow, I'm sure he's a nice guy. If I went to the golf tournaments that you host and that whole panel of people, I'd meet him just because he's there. But I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, Tim Tebow's signing stuff here. I have no desire.
I get that. I'm not any type of person. He's been in like 7 or 8 times, and his most recent visit, he just found out I'm a Gator fan, because I asked him, I was like, is your dad still wearing that straw hat? And he laughed, and he's like, how do you know about that stupid thing? And I was like, I'm a Gator fan. And then I said, my first game was your sophomore year against Troy. And then he was like, oh, we scored on the first 7 drives, touchdown. I was like, it sounds right. It was 49-7.
So. That's what I love about a lot of football players. Not all of them, but especially quarterbacks. They'll remember some of the most ridiculous things. Yeah. That's crazy.
Do you think Blake Bortles knows how many interceptions he threw?
No.
I'd rather meet Blake Bortles.
I think he remembers probably the most infamous one.
There's two.
The shoe one or the helmet one.
He probably remembers how many beers he had after those games.
Yeah. I mean, do you not remember the interview he had with Part of My Take? A 15-year-old kid walked up to him, knocked on his door, said just gave him a Coors Light or Bud Light and whatever, and just ran away. That was the funniest interview. That is such Blake Bortles.
I would rather meet Blake Bortles than Tim Tebow.
Blake Bortles is actually – he's funny. Yeah, I met him too. he's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, he's a down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had ripping cigs and doing construction if he wasn't playing football.
He's a frat dude.
Yeah, kinda. He's a frat dude 100%.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, he's let's put a bow on this episode. It has been...
What is a Dimes on Duval podcast without a mention of Blake Bortles?
Touche, touche.
Is it a Jaguars podcast or a Blake Bortles podcast?
We have no idea. But we thank you guys for bearing with us when we go off on these random tangents. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. He's Skylar Chase, he's Mike Yaji, and I am Keith Manzi, signing off, and we'll catch you next time.
Miguel Tejada.